What is up, Mentors Collective? So as you know, I have a medical background, went to medical school, did a year of training as a family medicine doctor. So a large part of my passion still lies in performance optimization, biohacking, doing everything that I can to feed my body what it needs so that I can operate as 110% as a CEO. Because as an entrepreneur, we're competing against everybody else. So we need to be at the sharpest energy level, the sharpest mental acuity that we can possibly operate at. And I love to hear about and experiment with the different tools of the trade that can help do that for my body and get me to those levels. So for this episode, we're going to be talking about one of those such treatments that I have been following for a long time and I'm very passionate about. And I've got a guest here, John Harper, who actually has his own journey of fighting through chronic injuries and used this therapy to pull through it and come out on the other side. So we're going to be talking about this therapy, how it helped you, John, how other people can use this therapy to get their energy levels back and operate at 110%. So John, welcome to the show. Thank you for joining me, my brother.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Jay. This, like I was saying when we first got on, your setup looks great. You obviously do a lot of great things. You get the word out. You obviously help a lot of people. And you're, you know, just the presentation, everything, it looks very professional. I enjoy it. I'm really going to enjoy this.
I think I am too. I love talking medicine, talking performance optimization. So my co-founder is a great example of this. There's a lot of entrepreneurs that are dealing with either low energy, chronic pain, maybe a back injury, something that's distracting them from what really matters, which is living a full life, pursuing their interests. And a lot of people feel hopeless that there's nothing left to do. So John, tell me your story, man. Like, what did you go through before, and then how did you get to the other side? How did you figure things out?
Yeah, it's a long story. It's not the prettiest of stories. It's riddled with a lot of failures and injuries. Obviously, that as we when you look back on it, you realize that that is the value that life gave you to be able to go forward, because nothing's easy, nothing should be easy, and if something is great, and if something's worth doing, it should be hard. But so I think, yeah, where it would all start, I was young, wanted to get into fitness. I was very, very skinny. Yeah, where it would all start was me as a very, very skinny person. Somebody who grew up very, I wasn't very confident because I was a really skinny person. Wasn't strong, right? And I wanted to get strength. I wanted to feel confident. So I found sort of my happy place in the gym, because the gym is where you're building armor, right? Fast forward where I am right now, I've done bodybuilding, and something I identified with a lot of the bodybuilders that were my friends, my coaches, people that were my co-competitors, they all have like a teddy bear inside them. You know, they're all little insecure teddy bears inside them. They use the muscle to build up their confidence. Anybody listening, you remember that, like usually someone with a lot of muscle that's very, very strong, especially in bodybuilding. And I'm not saying this across the board, but at least what I've identified when I was competing with bodybuilding, they were all extremely insecure. And I was, you know, and going back again to where I was as a skinny person, I was a very insecure person. I wanted to build muscle, build armor to get confidence. And I liked the feedback that I got from training. You get really empowered, you know, you get those endorphins going. So I wanted to share this out. I wanted to, you know, train people to get strong. You know, I was idolizing, you know, Arnold and all the top OGs of bodybuilding. So I went into personal training, and then I was competing at the same time. I was very big into rugby. And then rugby was sort of the first game that I really took seriously, first sport that I actually sort of really put my foot down. I had coaching, we had a full team. There was our squad was pretty young and up and coming, but we wanted to sort of rip through the league, you could say. And I remember my very first tour that I went on, I busted my shoulder. And it was like a dislocation, sort of like a little micro fracture on my shoulder. And I remember being absolutely devastated. It, like, everything was obviously inflamed. It was very, very painful. Rushed to hospital. They put it back together, but I was out of joint for like probably about four hours, a little less than 4 hours. So that kind of, you know, meant obviously I wasn't going back on the field that day and for for the next, few months. But I rehabbed it as best I could, I would put braces on it and everything. But then going back into the game, I remember I played only like a few other games. I think I only played like two or three games, and then I busted the other shoulder. And that just meant that I was like, okay, I can't play rugby anymore. Which is obviously a sport that I love. And you're with all your mates, with all your buddies that play rugby. And there's
a whole identity shift. So that can be tough to deal with.
Everyone likes
for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, there's this whole like harden up kind of attitude. Then there's also like rugby, obviously at a professional level, there's a lot of good strength and conditioning coaches, a lot of good recovery. But I think when you're climbing to that on the way, the attitude is very much just get out there and deal with it. Yeah. Which didn't really work for me. I just kept sort of getting injured. You know, it just wasn't rehabbing well enough. So I quit rugby and I went into CrossFit. And CrossFit at that time was up and coming. It was the latest trendy thing to do. And it was all about competing. It's like, it's a workout, you know, it's in the gym, it's barbells, and it's, you know, it's all of that, but it's done in sort of a sport concept. There's a sport structure to it. So I remember doing CrossFit I got really into it because obviously there's a lot you can manage. When you're playing rugby, it's extremely dangerous because you can get hit from any side. You know, you can't really, if you're not really good at controlling your falls, there's a lot of injury risk. Whereas I thought, okay, playing rugby, if I'm doing CrossFit, I can really manage myself better. I can be a little bit more careful. I can ensure that I'm not going to get injured. But
CrossFit, I feel like, doesn't have that reputation. Like, I'll just do CrossFit. That's much safer. CrossFit's like, all right, let's pack as much weight onto these things and slam them up and down as fast as we can. Use your back.
That's it. It's so these workouts. Sometimes you wonder, like, this isn't humanly possible, you know? Right. But I think that's the whole culture is like, you know, excelling and doing military level work, right? So, of course, you get really addicted to that. You get really addicted to the feedback it gets from, you know, from everybody else. They're all like, wow, you know, that's the impossible. You've done it, right? But I remember, you know, with that, just like we were saying, when you're squatting, you're throwing weights on your back, you're doing high load, high reps, and you're trying to, you know, pushing your limits. The whole idea of CrossFit is to always be excelling in your limits. You're not really ever sort of maintaining or flatlining, at least when you're competing. You need to be thinking about the people that you're competing against, and you need to always be, you know, you got to be doing better. But I got a really bad left knee. Like, I can't tell you exactly what. I never actually got it diagnosed fully, but it just basically, my knee was just like stopped working. I would be in a seated position just like this. I would be for say 10 to 15 minutes and it would just really hurt just to be in a seated position. I could never have the knee bent for an extended period of time. I had like deep heat cream that I would keep with me, and I would, you know, put a lot of heat on the joint. I would try to lubricate it, get the blood circulation going to stop the pain, and I would have to extend my leg. It just meant that, you know, taking a taxi, taking, you know, a plane was always very, very difficult if you have to sit in a seated position. But that was probably, out of all the injuries, that was the one that really broke me mentally and physically, was that specific injury, just because you're so debilitated. You can't work out and excel in the gym, which means for me and my teddy bear self, I'm like, oh, that's my identity, right? That's who I am. I have to have always on point. You know, if other things fail, that's the thing that always has to be, you know, that can't fail, right?
Yeah. People take for granted their general health, like feeling good in the joints, being able to walk around unimpeded. I have a lot of friends growing up playing professional volleyball who would just beat down their knees injury after injury. And it was the most important thing to them at the time because it's their whole identity as professional volleyball player. But now I talk to them and we're all, you know, in our 30s and their shoulders hurt, their knees hurt. They've got no cartilage left. And they say if they could go back, they would have stopped. Yeah. So how do you feel looking back on it? You know, those two shoulder injuries in rugby, the knee injury in CrossFit. I know it's probably such a big part of your identity, but do you have a message to people who are going through CrossFit right now and maybe just experienced their first minor injury? Would you stop if you could?
Yeah, you everyone wants to be like that David Goggins, you know, that stay hard, you know, push through it kind of thing, because this is a very empowering mentality. Yeah. If you can kind of do it, And there is a phase that you go through as a young athlete, right? You're very ambitious. You're very driven. You know, you're trying to sort of live up to your own expectations, plus, you know, expectations that others may, you know, put on you, but maybe you actually just put them on yourself, right? They're not actually, you know, so you're sort of trying to always outmatch yourself, but it's the recovery part always takes a back seat because you always need to excel, especially in that you're not as, you know, it's like train hard, not smart kind of phase that you go through. And coaching, what I would definitely tell myself is coaching is really important because coaches know how to empower you and give you the right motivation to make sure that you don't lose your drive, you know, your ambition, that sense of like, I can do this, which is important for any athlete who wants to be, you know, pro. But also they tell you that actually the recovery part is also part of that, right? And they make that, they gamify it in a way, or they package it in a way that you feel that you are like still a pro athlete by taking a step back, by, yeah, you know, getting away from the gym and relaxing and maybe going light or maybe skipping a workout here or two or focusing on some other aspect of your game or your physicality. But yeah.
Just to add to that, you know, years in professional sports, you might agree, you might disagree. Some coaches, especially when you get to those elite levels, will push you like a David Goggins. They're going to try and get the most out of you, and it's in their best interest for their stars to be on the field. But that might not necessarily be in the player's or the athlete's long-term best interest. You know, the coach isn't necessarily your doctor, isn't necessarily your trainer, and doesn't really care, you know, the pain level that you're in 10, 20 years from now. So take everything with a grain of salt and just know that you might be able to get through this game, that game, the next game with a little bit of pain, but is it worth the long term? Just think about that. I'm not saying it is. I'm not saying it isn't. But I know a lot of people with a lot of regrets.
That's right. Exactly that. Because sport, especially when you're aiming to achieve something really, really big, there's a cost to it.
100%.
You can't like do great things without great cost. You can't.
So
like,
John, you've got two shoulder injuries at this point. You've got a knee injury.
So I left CrossFit and then I move on to boxing. Boxing, I kind of found a really happy place. That's kind of always been my, and still is my biggest passion is boxing. So I went into amateurs. I was fighting, you know, you need to get ring experience. You need to sort of test yourself out. You win. Like I remember winning my first fight and thinking like, this is it. Heavyweight champion. Let's go. You know, it's like that, you know, when you play golf, you play it, you know, out of 18 holes, you'll shoot like, you know, maybe three good ones. And you think you're like that, those shots keep you in the round.
I can only imagine the rush that you get from knocking someone out in a boxing ring and everybody going nuts. Like that is like DJing for 100,000 people, like just an unbelievable rush. I can only imagine.
Best. It's the best.
So you went from safer to safer to safer sports. Good decisions.
Yeah. And of course,
talk to me.
Yeah, boxing, you can control. You can see the guy. He's trying to take your head off. But at least you, like, I can see you. Like, yeah, I know exactly what you're trying to do. Whereas, again, with rugby, people are coming out from all angles, right? And you may misread a move or a play. And, you know, that's when you get cut. You know, you get smacked down. But with boxing, you're like, I can advance. I can deep, you know, I can go off my back foot for a bit. I can rest. I can sort of walk around the gym, the ring, right? But after years of getting just hitting the head a lot, I had what my doctor said was I developed a tumor in my head due to micro traumas that were from the nose. When you keep hitting the nose, there were just micro traumas in my head. So the tumor was about the size of my thumb. And I was like, is this serious? And he was like, well, yeah, you have to get it taken out or else it's going to go into your brain. It's not like it's not a benign tumor or anything. It's just growing and it's going to your brain. So let's take it out. So I scheduled a surgery, had the surgery, but he said, like, going forward, try not to have any more, don't do sports where there's a lot of impact, right? Because especially in your brain. So that's when I had to leave boxing and I went into bodybuilding, which I did quite well in bodybuilding. I enjoyed it for about a year, but there was no rivalry. You know, when there's a rivalry, there's like, it's our team versus that team, or if it's you versus the guy in the ring, there's a story there.
Yes.
And this story is what you feed off. Whereas with bodybuilding, you know, you may be trying to beat the guy, but at the end of the day, it's down to the judge. And the judge is like, I like his calves better than yours. You know, and you're like, come on, I like my calves.
Right. He posed a little bit better.
Yeah.
Crazy sport. I still don't fully get it, but very interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, each to their own, but I really thrived off boxing. But then after I went, you know, not being able to fight, I went into promotion and I actually built my own boxing event, which actually did quite well. And actually to this day, it's something that, you know, I may be able to do an event maybe this year, but I did 37 events in, I think it's, this is our eighth year. And that's just basically when you create an event, you're a promoter. You have like, you know, you have a company where it's like, as a promotion, I'm going to bring these two people to fight each other. There's the matchmaking side, there's the sponsorship side, you know, there's the media side, there's the charity side, which I was very big on. I was like, let's have something where you can, you know, you can give to charity and create something that raises awareness for a certain cause.
Yeah, I love that. Super entrepreneurial. And you did that for a while. That's great.
Yeah, I loved it. The first event I remember was like a sellout and it was the talk of the town and everyone was like, when are you going to do the next event? And it just came, you know, just the community saying like, do another one. I kept it small. I didn't try to grow too fast. So I kept like the spaces, the arenas, like always, you know, something very manageable. And I sort of let it grow slowly. And as it grew, people just wanted to be part of it because it was cool. It was fun. It was new, you know, it was sexy. You know, it was something that like everyone was like, yeah, you know, I went to the boxing event or I sponsored a fighter at the boxing event or I contributed to the charity at the boxing event. It created stories that kind of drove up the promotion and kept it going.
It sounds why did you stop, if you don't mind me asking?
Oh, no. I mean, I don't intend to stop. It's just
good.
Since focusing on Lumaflex and pushing this brand.
Let's get back to your recovery. So yeah. You enter bodybuilding. Are there any more injuries after the knee?
No, I mean, there's all the other injuries. It was very, very small injuries, like very, yeah. Something, like very, very something I wouldn't really, cry, you know, I wouldn't call my mother about.
Got it. So were you struggling with these injuries for a while with pain in the knee, stuff like that? And then what solutions did you try to get out of pain before finding something that worked?
Yeah. Like the knee was the big one. That was the one that I would try everything. Do we go to surgery? I don't like doctors. I'm scared of hospitals. You know, you're trying to obviously ice it, how much, what kind of ice contraption can I buy that I can put into the freezer, use it anytime? Are there special ointments, you know, acupuncture, all of this. But where red light therapy came in was actually started at the knee injury. And it was introduced to me by my wife. And my wife, she was like, you got to try this light, this lamp. And it was this long, gross, cumbersome, heavy lamp with a big weighted base. And the bulb was this, like, it was almost the size of my head, this big, big red bulb. And the bulb would get really hot. You'd get extremely, extremely hot. And I thought that it was the heat, like, because my wife's Chinese. So I thought it was this feng shui medicine thing, you know, like this special thing, you know, that I was like, okay, I'll do it just to make you happy. I'll do it. She was like, 20 minutes every night. You do it before you go to bed.
And worth a shot, right?
Yeah. And I was like, yeah, if she believes in it, you know, I'll do it because, you know, this is something that obviously she'll, you know, I you don't want to be the guy that's like, no, I don't agree with you. Just like, okay, I'll do it to make you happy. Right. So I would put my knee up and I would put the bulb, like, you know, that I would sort of angle it at my knee and it would get really hot. And I'd play this game where I would like get the knee up to the bulb and sort of try to withstand the heat. Yeah. And then I'd have to move it away. And I would just kept doing this every night, 20 minutes, every night. I mean, I had the little timer would like turn off. So I was like, I'm done. And she was like, good, do it tomorrow. But I remember after about a week, it didn't stop hurting anymore. And how I knew that it was when I would be in a seated position, I wouldn't have that pain where I'd have to stand up and straighten my knee and, you know, and start massaging it and putting deep heat on it. I didn't need to do that. And after the second week, I stopped using the lamp. We like gave it to her grandfather or something. We got rid of it. But I was interested in what that was and seeing like, how could this device be just easier to use? Because it was such a headache to use it. So obviously finding out like, oh, it was actually the light. Oh, the heat was just put into this lamp. It was a very, very cheap lamp. So the heat was more the old technology. And the idea was, yeah, at that time, I think the heat gave the idea that was the healing thing. So people would use it. Whereas if it was just the bulb with the red light with no heat, people wouldn't trust it. You know how sometimes people are like that? Like you have to, the heat, especially in Asian culture, they think heat is, heat heals, right? In Western culture, we believe like we believe in ice, cold, in ice, it's like heat therapy and cold therapy, right? But I remember like thinking like, how can we create a device that would be exactly the same, but just easier to use, and it was something more adapted to me as a competitive athlete. And that's where, you know, the whole, you know, journey led to LumaFlex, which is the portable red light therapy device with red and infrared light.
Love that. And just to kind of add some medical context to red light therapy, this has been, you know, proven in medicine forever. Red light saunas, they just did a massive study in the Nordic countries, massive decrease in the risk of cardiovascular disease. I have a red light face product. Red light increases circulation, and there's a lot of downstream benefits of red light therapy. So for people who are using it for joint issues, huge. Skin issues, huge. If you want your face to look great, awesome. I've never seen a device specifically designed for the joints, but it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Most of the devices that I've encountered for like the body and the joints are just like big, bulky lights, and you have to like sit in front of it in a specific way.
Yeah.
So very smart. Tell me about the device, who you designed this for, and yeah, I'd love to hear about the entrepreneurial journey since starting it.
Yeah, I mean, it's great to have people like yourself with a very strong medical background endorsing this, because you send out such a strong message to people like the younger me, for example, that wasn't so, you know, ready to uptake this. I always thought like, just deal with the pain, you know, do, you know, maybe take some cresellazine or like, you know, glucosamine or something, like just pop some pills.
Yeah, joint supplements.
That'll work. Get some deep heat on that and just, you know, grin and bear it kind of thing. So that obviously I really rely on the research and the medical backgrounds of scientists and people like yourself that to help sort of spread the word, to provide that actual clean data, right? To give all the backing, you know, whereas I'm coming more from I was an aggressive athlete that just wanted to win, just always wanted to be the best, to go pro, to raise, you know, to be the, raise his hands in the ring. And, but yeah, that didn't happen. But yeah, this is a silicone panel. So the LumaFlex Body Pro, the one that I have here, it's a silicone panel. So this can mold to shapes and into joints and muscles. So this is where you can put it around your knee, your ankle, your elbow, your shoulder. So it molds, and you can maximize the amount of treatment to an affected area because you're really getting the light, and obviously you have to put this onto your skin, but it really gets all the light concentrated to that affected area. And this one in particular, the Body Pro, comes with a spare battery. So it's more the pro version for the pro athlete, you know, or the aspiring pro athlete like myself. And yeah, it's basically fully waterproof.
Oh, yeah, I love that.
Something.
Talk me through the business model so far. Where are you selling it? How are you manufacturing it? And what is your mission? Who are you hoping to impact through this device?
Yeah, I mean, all of these sort of questions that you have in your head when you launch a business, you think they are clear, but what you got to learn quickly about business is that it's never easy, right? And you always have to adapt, you always have to modify, you have to adjust your strategy, change your audience, you know, change your messaging, change your brand even, you know, you have to change everything. And you have to be willing, you can't really hang on for thing, you know, to a certain sort of process or a certain sort of strategy. If it isn't working, you can't hang on for two. You have to be very quick to change and implement a new strategy and go somewhere else, because time is money, right? And there's costs, right? Costs are always, you know, accumulating. So the original idea was to launch the Body Pro to the pro athlete, right? To the to someone who definitely, like the CrossFitter, let's say, or the NBA player, right? It's fully waterproof and tested in all temperatures and environments. You know, you could use this in, you know, anywhere and everywhere. It's something a Marine could have in their bag and go out to war with, right? The joke in the company is like, I'm trying to make this so durable that I need to make it waterproof. I need to make it bulletproof. But that didn't quite take off, because given the cost of having a device that's fully waterproof, every single component needs to be waterproof. And each, right, when you have a supplier, you have this, the suppliers that provide different components, you're putting it all together, there's a testing protocol, it comes out with a very high cost. So 689 is what we charge for the Body Pro. But what we found, you know, a few months later down the line, and when we launched again in January at the CES January 9th, we launched a dumbed down version. I don't have one here with me, but it's exactly the same as the Body Pro, except the battery doesn't detach, so there's no spare battery, and it's not waterproof. But it's water resistant because it's a silicone panel. And that one, with a price of $399, actually was more, is actually going much, much better. Oh, there's actually one right here. There's one right here. So this is the LumaFlex Essential. So this is the one that really we pivoted, you know, halfway into our, like from where we are halfway into our launch. And this is the one that's really appreciated by the larger community. It's not, like I said, it's not waterproof at all. The battery doesn't detach, but it has all the same red light therapy. And that's what people were telling us when we created the brand was, we love how awesome it is. It's the ultimate portable unit, but maybe it's good to have an option where it's cheaper and you just get the same red light therapy. So the Essential is sort of where we made our pivot. Obviously, there's still a place for the Body Pro where having a spare battery, you know, you can, this can go into a, you know, a gym, for example, where the trainer, he has the device that he uses as treatments as part of his training service. And then this can be the device, you know, the Essential can be the device that's actually resold in the gym. So, you know, looking at where, you know, I want to, where I want to progress as a business is, we've got most regional distribution covered outside the US. We're doing quite well in, you know, Australia, Dubai, Asia, Europe and Mexico, Latin America, all these countries are opening up. But I really want to focus on the US and build a reseller and retail network and offer them not just these products, but I've got other products on the line. I do want products to be like following that portable idea where everything needs to be, you know, adapted to your life, not you adapting to the product. You know, the panels I think are very good products, but having to stand in front of a panel,
right,
doesn't really work every day. Sometimes it doesn't feel, I don't know, it depends if you are, you know, you can meditate in front of it. That's true. You know, if you, it's part of your meditation practice, that's good. But I always want something that I can throw in my bag and use on the go. And then I think a lot of people like that. They want something that's a little bit more tailored to how they live their lives. So that's,
and it's specific. You know, you designed this because you had a specific joint injury that, and you needed red light therapy for your knee. So there's a lot of people listening to this who have a bad knee, who have a bad shoulder, that just want to isolate the treatment on that specific problem area. And for those people, I would say,
yes,
the big Juve lights are probably not going to be the answer. The more targeted therapy is probably the answer. It's going to be much easier to get a good clinical dose of that red light if it's directly on the problem joint. So definitely a great innovation there. Now, let me ask you, John, what is the protocol? Say I have a bad knee and I pick up one of these products. How often should I use it? How many minutes should each session be?
So I built in a into both devices, I built in a 10-minute timer into the battery. So when you turn it on, it will turn off after 10 minutes. You know, from what I've seen with all the, you know, almost a year launched, I've seen so many different kinds of pain from so many different kinds of people, different levels of pain and different levels of recovery response. And I always try to keep it safe and make sure that you're sort of following a regime on a daily basis that can completely eliminate your pain. So I always encourage people, if you are suffering from some kind of pain, even if it's very, very serious chronic pain, aim at the pain, aim it at that area, and do at least 4 times a day, 10 minutes each time, and do it up to 2 weeks. Like invest in, you know, a time that where you're really, just like me, where it was about 2 weeks for my knee, invest in the time so that you can actually get the recovery. You know, I know a lot of people, they, you know, they'll say, oh, that takes long. And I know other people that say, oh, that's actually quite short. You know, so everyone's very different. It all depends on how invested you are into trying it out at the beginning. Because once you try it out and it starts to work, then you're going to be stuck on it, right? But what I find with red light therapy when it comes to pain management is where I find that there are, you know, issues is when people just simply want to try it. They don't, it's like, oh, this is pseudoscience. I don't know if there's much clinical research that backs this up. And, you know, I didn't really feel it right away. Am I supposed to feel it right away? It's, you know, like say if you were to massage an area that was painful, you feel it right away. It's a temporary pain relief, but you feel it right away. So you kind of are more drawn to that. And there's always this discussion of like, does it actually work? And so I always just say, well, you know, if you should at least try it for 2 weeks and then we can have a discussion again, maybe give yourself a pain rating every day, 1 to 10, where's your pain rating? Write it down, each day that goes on, maybe just keep an eye on where your pain rating is. Just, but it's, everyone is so different, but I try to always say, like, if it is serious, 2 weeks, four times a day, 10 minutes a time, and let's have a talk after 2 weeks. Let's see how you do.
I'll extend that out to 4 weeks, especially with red light therapy. I mean, the goal there is increasing circulation. So if you're trying to heal something, you're not going to feel the circulation increasing at a, on a short term. Try it for a month and then let me know how you feel. But it's definitely a proven technology. I love how you designed it to isolate the joint. I think that's really helpful. And for those listening, if you're interested in picking one of these up and you have a bad knee, a bad shoulder, check the description, whether you're watching this on YouTube or listening to this on podcast. I'll link that down below. But John, where's the best place to follow, you know, Lumiflex, follow you? Where can people get in touch?
For me personally, John Graham Fitness on Instagram. I always, I'm probably most active there because we have a lot of ambassadors and pro athletes that, that I communicate with there. You just, yeah, message me at john@lumiflex.com or info@lumiflex.com. I'm sure I'll get forwarded the email. Always love to hear people, any questions that you have. I love to just, you know, talk shop, talk, you know, like anyone who reaches out, it's always a good discussion. When you want to talk about clinical research, advice on other therapies. Sometimes I ask people, you know, give me some advice. Like you yourself, given your medical background, I'm sure you have a wealth of information to share. Do please, you know, when you found your latest and greatest trick in hack, do include me into that email list.
I've got some good ones. Check out the medical YouTube channel. But John, it's been a blast having you on the show today. For those listening, go check out the description to learn more, to go message John, open up those conversations. And if you love kind of medical biohacking performance optimization topics like this, let me know in the comments and I will do more of them. John, it's been a blast having you. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you so much.